All right, so back to full council. So first up is acceptance of minutes from the council meeting held on December 15th, 2025. Just as a reminder, we had two people absent that meeting. So is there any, well, I guess we should actually do this one vote, because so that you guys have the option to recuse. Do we do a roll call? You know, boys vote. Oh, they don't have to worry about it. Oh, okay, never mind. We can just do it the normal way. Is there any objection to approving the minutes as presented? All right, seeing none, so approved. Announcements of appointments. Announcement of appointments. Councilman Gebhardt, do you want to go through them?
Yes, Mr. President, there are a couple. Board of Public Safety, James Pellucci. Ward 9, term to expire January 1st, 2029. Retirement Board, Timothy Howe. Ward 3, term to expire June 30th, 2026. Alfred Marciano, Ward 5, term to expire June 30th, 2028. And the Tree Warden, back for another term, Carlos Pinero, Ward 5, term to expire January 1st, 2027. All others require confirmation.
All right, so on to appointments requiring confirmation. First up is Historic District Commission. Again, I just apologize in advance for any pronunciation failures. Ginny Leslie, Councilman Gebhardt.
Yes, the committee moved this to the floor without recommendation. However, this is a reappointment. Ms. Leslie currently is serving on the Historic District Commission.
All right, so I guess we'll first, does anyone on the council wish to comment on this? And then we got to ask the public as well. All right, so does any member of the public wish to speak on the reappointment of Ginny Leslie to the Historic District Commission? All right, seeing none. Does anyone wish to make a motion on this?
Move favorable action.
Second.
Favorable action, second it. Any discussion on said motion? I see none. Clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Rex?
Yes.
Nine yes, motion passes.
All right, next is the reappointment to the Historic District Commission of George Schuster Jr. Councilman Gebhardt.
Yes, this is a reappointment for Mr. Schuster, currently serving on the Historic District Commission, and I move favorable action.
Second.
Right. Motion for favorable action, second. Is there any questions or comments from the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. So in full disclosure, I just want to let you know that Mr. Schuster does serve on my ward committee. It does not sway my ability to make an impartial a vote on this. I will be voting in support of Mr. Schuster. I've known George for a long time. He is he's just an outstanding individual, extremely talented, very successful attorney, and this is just a perfect place for him. He is very much involved in our environment. He's very much involved in taking care of the Bay, Bucky Brook, et cetera, et cetera. So I think this is a really important thing for us to do. And it's even more important for Mr. Schuster to continue serving in his capacity on the Historic District Commission. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'd also like to thank Mr. Schuster for attending this evening, nearly 10 o'clock, and for participating in reviewing this ordinance as well and helping us make that correction to make sure that we're getting this on the books in the right way. Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to comment? Members of the council, members of the public, does anyone wish to comment? All right, seeing none, there was a motion for favorable action. I'll second it. So clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Rex?
Yes.
Nine yes, appointment passes.
All right, next is the consent calendar, PCR 1, 2023-26, resolution relative to bid. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. The committee recommends favorable. I'm sorry, it was moved to the floor for without a recommendation. The entire thing.
All right, so for action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 1-26. And I would point out that we do have two takeouts on that too.
Yes, right. There were two items removed at this time. Bid 2026-288 has become PCR 726, and bid 2026-287 has become PCR 826. And those will be addressed after the consent calendar. I would note that we have completed on the committee and public communication on items of 50,000 and above, but it would be in order to address any other of those other items on that that were below the 50,000 threshold, should any members of the council or the public have questions on those at this time.
I agree, Mr. President. I don't have any further questions on those items under 50,000.
Anyone else on the council have any questions on those? All right, anyone else from the public have any questions on those matters? Yeah, all right, so that's that one. So then, also from the consent calendar is PCR 2-26, resolution relative to abatements. Councilman Lattiser.
Committee, again, recommended favorable action on that item.
That's all for action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on the abatements, PCR 2-26.
So any further questions or comments on the resolution relative to abatements that was not asked in committee? All right, seeing none, we can go on to further in the consent calendar. PCR 3-26, resolution relative to traffic studies. This is public safety, so Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Mr. President. The committee recommended no action and brought it to the floor.
All right, so for action, Councilman Muto.
I move for favorable action for PCR 3-26 resolution relative to traffic studies.
Second.
All right, motion made and seconded. Does anyone have any, well, we should all say, so this is basically our yearly thing, in case anyone's unaware, our yearly resolution so that traffic studies can keep coming before us as applicable. So this is just kind of like a perfunctory thing. It's not regarding one specific issue or anything like that. This is standard, we do it every year. So it's not supposed to be anything in particular. So does anyone have any questions on that? Which is okay to have questions because it is kind of a weird thing we do every year. All right, does the public have any questions on that? All right, so now we go on to PCR 4-26, omnibus resolution of congratulations and condolences. So this is public properties. So this would be Councilman Ricks.
Do we need to vote on it?
So my understanding is, yeah, at the end for the whole consent calendar. Sorry, Councilman Ricks, I apologize. For PCR 4-26, omnibus resolution of congratulations and condolences.
Recommend favorable action.
All right, for action, Councilman Ricks.
Move favorable action.
All right, and seconded by Councilman Foley and Councilman Lattiser. And it looks like we already had discussion for the public. So does anyone have any questions or comments from the council? Just like with the last thing, this is what we do this annually. That way we can do resolutions of congratulations and condolences. So this is a perfunctory thing. All right, seeing no questions, and we already did the public. So now we can do the consent calendar vote. All right, so the clerk, please call the roll on the full consent calendar. Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Foley.
Yes.
Mr. Getmark.
Yes.
Mr. Kirby.
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser.
Yes.
Mr. Muto.
Yes.
Mr. Napa.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
Nine yes.
All right, now we have two matters that were removed. Bid 2026-288, which is now PCR 7-26. So, Councilman Lattiser.
A committee recommended favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 7-26.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi.
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise.
Yes.
Mr. Foley.
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt.
Yes.
Mr. Kirby.
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser.
Yes.
Mr. Nuno.
Yes.
Mr. Napa.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Recuse.
Eight yes, one recusal.
All right, next is bid 2026-287, which is now PCR 8-26. Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommended favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 8-26.
Motion made and seconded. Are there any questions or comments on the motion? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Sinapi.
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise.
Yes.
Mr. Foley.
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt.
Yes.
Mr. Kirby.
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser.
Yes.
Mr. Nuno.
Yes.
Mr. Napa.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Recuse.
Eight yes, one recuse.
All right. Now we're on to unfinished business. PCO 27-25 sub A, an ordinance amending Appendix A zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick regarding fences, drive-through window, overhead clearance, and special use permit lot size standards for duplexes, City of Warwick, petitioner citywide. This is land use, so Councilman Ricks.
This was moved to the floor without a recommendation. I would move favorable action with a proposed amendment, and I would move the amendment, which may be referred to as a sub B, if the City Council solicitor may read that into the record, and I believe procedurally I may need a second.
So Councilman Ricks would like to make an amendment, seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Councilman, do you want the all amendments read together, or do you want to take the historic one separate from the table changes?
I think we can streamline it and make it all into one amendment.
Okay, so if anyone has a distinction, please let us know. The Ricks amendment is seeking on page 1, line 41, to delete the word staff and insert in its place the word commission. This changes the review for the historic district fencing so that the commission would be weighing in rather than staffing. On page 6, the following changes to the table are being made. The intent is from Councilman Ricks to adjust these up by 25% rather than the current draft that says 50%. So in minimum lot area for A7 office and general business, it would be deleting 10,500 and inserting 8,750. In the same category for A10, it would delete the 15,000 and insert 12,500. For A15, it would delete 22,500 and insert 18,750. In A40, it would delete 60,000 and insert 50,000. In a similar concept, but in a couple of spots down on minimum side yard, the amendment would for A7 office and general business delete 15 and insert 10. And on minimum rear yard in A10, it would delete 30 and insert 25. Those are all the amendments that I have.
That's all of your motions for that amendment, correct? And we have a second for it?
Correct. And I believe Councilman Lattiser had seconded.
Yep. All right. So, is there any discussion on the proposed amendment? All right. Councilman DeLuise?
I kind of agree with the Tom Kravitz. I think that the 25% is just too little. I think that the 50%, or if he said that the 35% would be much better, I would tend to agree with that. 25%, I think, is still, the lot size is still kind of small.
And Director Kravitz, do you have any comment?
Again, I'm conveying my conversation with the Planning Board Chairman from today, who has concerns about the community character and neighborhoods which still have larger undeveloped side lots, if you will. And that's why, to maintain that character, he's really hoping that you'll endorse the planning board's original opinion to just keep the table at the 50% increase in size.
Councilman Latizer.
thank you, Mr. President. My question will go to the director. So I really hadn't thought of anything on this item in terms of amendments or actually impacts on other folks. The speaker earlier that came to the mic expressed concerns about the pressure on the grinder pumps now, additional pressures if these things changed, and the cost of the grinder pumps. So this change, either to 25% or 35%, could you explain that to me as to how that would play into the concerns of that particular property owner or other property owners in that area?
With respect to sewer pumping capacity, I cannot speak to that. I know, though, that all the applications, we have the sewer staff weigh in on them. So if there's concerns on flow rates or pressure, you know, that's looked at on a case-by-case basis. I think what, not to speak for that resident, but she was really talking about the nonconformance changes that were made in state law, which is a bit shocking. You're seeing some things happen. There was a story in the Beacon about Druid. That's different. That's a different statute. Those changes have been effectuated. This is something a little different. This is just how we treat duplexes as a special use permit and the minimum lot sizes related thereto. And so, you know, the planning board chairman's desire was to keep it at, for math's sake, most of these are in the A7 zoning district. That requires a minimum lot size of 7,000 square feet. Currently, if we put the table back in as the planning board recommended, you would need a lot that is 10,500 square feet in size to accommodate a duplex. Obviously, Councilman Ricks has his opinion trying to make it smaller. I'm just conveying what Chairman Slocum and I talked about today after speaking with introducing Councilman Ricks's changes to him. I feel like I'm just here to convey what the planning board wanted, so I don't want to...
You drew the short straw.
Yeah, you know, so I kind of wanted to have a conversation with Phil and at least get it across.
So most people know how heavily involved I was with the sewer project, particularly in Bayside. There was a very long project and just a super heavy lift for a year trying to learn about grinder pumps and gravity feed, et cetera, et cetera. The pressure on the grinder pump, let's say my house over whatever street it is, the pressure on my grinder pump isn't increased or decreased predicated upon the pressure of the system. It's predicated upon the use of the dwelling. Is that correct?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not an engineer, but right.
No, that's, I just,
you know, what goes on from the lateral to your home is one pressure, and then it gets into the public system. That's a different situation.
Because it's the public system that pushes this up. I know I've had a few little hiccups in Bayside where some of these pressure systems, let's just say, needed to be adjusted, and they were, and they were done immediately. But I think the individual impact and pressure on the grinder pumps is solely on the usage that it receives from that particular property.
Right. I mean, the main concern is a cumulative effect of many homes or lots being put in, and are we communicating with sewer staff to ensure the lift stations and whatnot can handle that additional volume? That's a concern that we're always, that's why we always send every application before the commission, sewer staff to review.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess, would it be in order to ask the previous speaker if she's okay with that?
I apologize. I'm not following.
If I interpreted the conversation from the speaker, she had indicated that she was very concerned with these okay. things changing, and if they were to change, it would put additional pressures on her grinder pump because there was more usage on the system. But to my understanding and my knowledge on how all this stuff works, is that the grinder pump at your location is under the pressure of your unit, so your house. So if you have a two-bedroom house, you got so much pressure on. If you have a three-bedroom house, it's fair to assume that you'd have more pressure. I just want to get an answer as to whether or not changing these lot sizes would have a negative impact on the speaker that was here before. I don't believe that it does, but I just want to be sure that she's comfortable with this explanation.
All right, so is there any objection for letting the member of the public speak on this? All right, yep, so how about it? If you could address that, if you okay. could, just make sure you identify yourself first, sorry.
Okay, you have to understand your speaker system is so bad when you have hearing aids, it does not work.
We all
anyway,
agree.
So I'm not hearing everything that you're saying, but I want to just comment again. What's happening is down at the area where you're closer to the water, and that whole point is closer to the water, they have to all pump up to Point Ave, okay? And there's one station. And when we're all pumping up, it's you don't have the pressure to pump up. And you have to push, your pump works harder to push up. So the more people that are on this sewer line, and the more people that are on or flushing or pumping, it takes more pressure to push it up. And this is what they're seeing now is their electric bills are up and their pumps are failing. So I don't know how else to explain it other than I'm still on the old system because I clean my system and I've got four fields, but I don't need to change over. I am not going to change over because why bother? They're having all these issues. But if you're going to keep on adding more people to that line and making it mandatory that they join, you're going to have this issue. And so everything is low over in Connecticut Point, and they get a variance on everything that they build down at the point. And every time you do a variance, you're taking away frontage, and you're making more houses in smaller area. I don't know what else I can say.
So with the amendment that is made or amendments that's made, as the solicitor has said, this automatically goes back to first passage, right? Okay. So if we vote, let's assume we vote in favor of this on the first passage, we would have time to reach out to the sewer authority and get clarification to what your concerns are.
They've already been contacted. The sewer authority has been contacted by all the people who are on the line and their pumps are all wearing out. And nobody cares what they have to pay, $20,000 every mm-hmm. time. They don't care. So my thing is stay with the larger lots. If you're gonna do this, they're gonna build right on the water, whether I want them to or not. They're building on the water. They're digging into the marsh. Okay? They're not digging on, you know, an Appanog here. They're digging right on the bay and in the marsh. There's no protection for environment. And they're just bringing in soil from other areas. They don't care. This is an environmental disaster down there. And you're only adding to it.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. President, for whatever it's worth, I happen to have a real good relationship with the sewer authority, believe it or not. seriously, So, you know, I certainly will reach out to the director there, also Matt Salitro, who has been incredible to work with. And I'd like to research, you know, this situation, being that I don't know those answers right now, but I will have an opportunity to get them and revote. I will, well, depending upon where this amendment goes and whether it goes to Director Kravitz or it goes to Councilman Sinapi, I'm sorry, Councilman Ricks, I will vote in support of it because I do have that second bite at the apple to see what I can find out on that.
So I'm somewhat hesitant to jump on the amendment only because those who I think who know better than I on the subject, like Councilman DeLuise, based on what he voiced, and he absolutely would know better than I, given his time on the zoning board. So I can't support the amendment given that. I can't argue that I know better than Councilman DeLuise and the director and whatnot. And I know it's not like people are passionately arguing one way or another. I'm not trying to pretend. I truly don't have the expertise on this subject to deem one of these better than the other. But based on those who do, it seems like the original one is the preferred one. But Councilman Ricks?
Mr. President, I would at least offer one suggestion is if there is the inability to find consensus on what the table should look like this evening, if there is consensus on the other provision about changing the word staff to commission, that vote alone would revert this back to first passage and thus require further action of the council in a month. So there'd be ample time to review should the council wish more time to occur on changes to the table.
I mean, do we hate the idea of just simply holding it then? If functionally that's what we'd be doing? Am I missing something? Sorry.
Mr. President, if I may, I'd like to hear from Councilman DeLuise. This is definitely a ward issue, right? That's Councilman DeLuise's ward.
Well, that makes sense.
Right?
All right, you want to hear from me? You sure?
Absolutely.
I'm sticking to my original with the 50% okay. addition. If you're in an A7, you're going to need 10,500 square feet as opposed to 7,000. I like the table that Mr. Kravitz, they put together. And it, you know, I live in that area. Leslie's a neighbor. And it is being overbuilt. And I'm sorry to say, when I was on the zoning board, I did approve some of those small lots, and I have regrets about it. And you should have the right to your property as an owner, but you should do it with responsibility. And if you have a 7,000 square foot lot, put a smaller house that conforms to the perimeter and the setbacks and all that, that's all. So I won't be voting for that as it stands the way it is with the 25% amendment.
So you oppose the amendment? You prefer?
I'm going to vote against it.
Okay. And a question, through Council President to Mr. Kravitz. This, and I'm just paying attention to it now, but this is a citywide thing. So whatever happens now, it's not restrictive just to Connecticut. It's citywide.
Correct. It follows the zoning districts.
Got it.
So it'll have implications all the way in Cohasset too, in the A40 zone.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. To briefly address that last point, as to A40s plus 25% is 50,000, meaning that if it's in an A40 zone, 50,000 square feet is pretty close to a full acre, I believe. As over, to the over. Smaller lots, and especially when we're talking Connecticut Point with the smaller frontage, a lot of these various lots that I'm understanding and looking at the city's GIS, a lot of these smaller lots don't even meet the frontage or square footage size requirements for a single family house. So plus 25% would make it all the more difficult to try to get a variance for a duplex. And I think, again, I'm not going to prejudge anything here and not speak on any particular situation because I'm not familiar with any of the particular situations anyway, but it would be hard for me to imagine someone going in front of the zoning board and successfully seeking to get a duplex built on a lot that doesn't meet the frontage or total size square footage requirements or other requirements possibly, to even build a single family house. All of that seems like quite a stretch. And then in any particular cases, when it comes to things such as water tables, sewer situations, these are all of course unique circumstances that the building department, planning board, zoning board potentially, would need to take a look at and do have discretion as to what they're willing to grant. So if someone would have difficulty or wouldn't normally be allowed to build a single family, it's still with the plus 25%, all that much more difficult to go and seek to build a duplex on that type of land. And well, good luck to anyone who tries that. So I think that those really are some separate issues there. And if there are, especially because we're talking about citywide here, if this is a situation where overbuilding at Connecticut Point is a particular issue, perhaps there might be a need to re-examine some of the particular issues at Connecticut Point. There could be any number of different ways that issues in that particular neighborhood could be addressed. So turning back to the more general here, a couple of years ago, we, as a city council, reduced the requirements such that, simply put, if a duplex can fit in the footprint of what would be allowed as a single family house, it could proceed as such, with going through the process with zoning board, of course. So that is my initial inclination. That's what I advocated for at previous city council meetings. I'll try not to repeat all of that here now. The city administration was suggesting and advocating for it to be back to plus 50%. I had spoken with the planning director the other day, and it seemed reasonable to meet smack in the middle at plus 25%. I'm not crazy about that. I think it's a step in the wrong direction, but I think it's a reasonable compromise, and I'd be sad at, well, as they say, a good compromise is when everybody is a little bit unhappy, and I'm a little bit unhappy, but I can live with that. And I think that, you know, whereas plus 50%, I would strongly object to that. So especially considering that if there are some of these additional questions that need to be resolved, and because there is a desire to keep this on a track, I think that it would make sense if we could get this amendment passed this evening and then move this to second passage at a future council meeting. And if there is legitimacy to some of these particular concerns that can't be addressed otherwise, then we will be able to have that debate again. But if those concerns are satisfied, then we'll be able to proceed with second passage and get this done. So that's all my comments for now. Thank you.
All right. Does anyone else
Yes, if I could, I would like you to address the worst-case scenario, which was would be my area. You're making rules for an area that does not have issues like we have down where we are. And so by making this a new rule, you are opening up my area for construction in double what we're going through right now. And I just ask you to reconsider and think about my area, because the variances will go through, because there's another one we could talk about on a variance that was just approved by the zoning board. Okay, Zoning Board of Appeals. And it was just approved, and you would have never expected it. Okay, because they let things go through that should never have gone through.
Councilman Muto.
Mr. President, just a idea to throw out there, because unfortunately I just redid my insurance. They drew lines from the coastline. I'm not sure if we could add something with the lot sizes, keep them at the maximum size, stay within 0.5 miles of a coastal, and then over that we can gradually go from there. That way it takes it away from the water table. So a thought for conversation, but I have no amendments to add.
Thank you.
All right, so if there's no more questions on the amendment, the only thing I'm going to say is, like, first off, kudos to Councilman Ricks for endeavoring to actually achieve a compromise. That's exactly how it should go. He went about it the right way, and I can't compliment that enough. That being said, I can't bring myself to go against Councilman DeLuise with his background and expertise in this area, the planning director, and the head of the planning board. I can't. So I apologize. I can't stress enough, though, at the same time, kudos for the endeavor to compromise. So regardless of how it goes, thank you for doing that. So clerk will please call the roll on Councilman Ricks's proposed amendment. No.
Mr. DeLuise?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Kirby?
No.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes, for first passage.
Mr. Muto?
Yes, for first passage.
Mr. Napa?
No.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
Three yes.
Six no. Motion fails. Sorry.
As it was discussed, if there's independent discussion on the non-table change, which was the Historic District Commission request to delete the word staff and insert commission, should that pass, it would revert the matter back to first passage.
So does anyone wish to make that motion to the change proposed by, mentioned by Solicitor Walsh, Councilman Lattisa?
I make that motion by him.
All right, is there, seconded by Councilman Napa, is there any discussion on that proposed amendment? All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Nine yes.
All right, so this will be back before us for second passage.
That's the amendment. If someone were interested in moving favorable action as amended, for first passage.
Make a motion for favorable action as amended for first passage.
All right, seconded by Councilman Muto. So this would be for first passage. So I'm not trying to drag this out further in the future, but if for some reason all parties involved decide there's a better idea between now and next meeting,
right.
I get it. It's fine. It makes sense. Just keep doing what you're doing, because I can't say enough good things about the effort. But so does anyone have any questions or discussion regarding the item as amended? All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I miss?
Pardon me, I didn't quite hear. This is the vote on the underlying item.
This is favorable as amended, first passage.
Okay, a brief comment, if I may.
I apparently don't have the ability to interrupt the roll call. Saying
under the rules, once roll calls begin, really it shouldn't be discussing anything other than an actual question on what is the vote, but not debate, unless somebody wants it.
Very well. I didn't hear the vote being called. I was not hearing that specific language being stated into the microphone, but I had things to say. I will not be able to say them. That's all. I suppose I'll be able to say them at the time of second passage.
Is there an objection to suspending the rules to allow Councilman Ricks to speak? Because I can't just unilaterally do it. All right. So go ahead.
Thank you. So these lot sizes, if there are particular issues with the zoning of particular neighborhoods, those issues really should be addressed on a neighborhood level, not as a matter of a citywide level. I'd invite anyone to show me exactly which of these different lots are truly a concern. Because if a lot is 4,000 square feet, then I don't see how one can be building a duplex on a 4,000 square feet in an A7 zone requiring 7,000 square feet, regardless of whether we're requiring plus 0%, plus 25%, or plus 1,000,000%. If we have a postage stamp, you can't build a mansion on a postage stamp. Similarly, when it comes to the sewers, I appreciate Councilman Lattiser looking into this, because the notion of how much a neighbor uses their own their own connection to the public sewer line, affecting how much electricity one pays and the burnout for their own grinder pump connecting their particular house to the public sewer, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that my electric bill changes based on whether my next door neighbor has an enlarged prostate or whether my neighbor lets it mellow. I don't think that affects my electric bill. I could be wrong. I await the expert opinion. Thank you.
All right, so motion seconded, made and seconded for favorable action. Given that we already suspended the rules, does anyone else have any further comment? All right, so seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Yes. Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes. First passage.
All right, next is PCR 93-25, resolution amending the rules of the Warwick City Council for the 2025-2026 term. And the sub A is not before us, right, as of now? Okay.
You skipped the, if they held that bill, PCO 13.
You're absolutely right. I did it again.
All right.
No, don't be sorry. I did the same thing I did last time. I put the check in the wrong spot. I apologize. We are not on that one. The clerk corrected me, as she should. PCO 13-25, an ordinance amending procedures relative to transfer of tax title to property. The recommendation was to hold till January 26th. Is there any objection to holding as requested / recommended? Seeing none, so held. Now we're on PCR 93-25, resolution amending the rules of the Warwick City Council for the 2025-2026 term. My apologies. So there was a sub A that is not currently before us, but if someone would indulge me and make a motion for such so that we can, for favorable action on amending so that we can discuss and I can explain why, et cetera.
Yep. Motion to insert a sub A. Is that what you need?
Does that work for you?
Let's get a second.
Oh, yeah, needs a second first. Sorry.
Motion to insert sub A. Somebody?
You.
I'm coming. I'm second.
I aggressively looked at him because it's for
just
him.
Just leave him hanging.
Okay.
All right. It was seconded. So the reason for the sub A is Councilman Lattiser and myself met with the administration about when we have one meeting in a month, how we had that like flood of bids, and it was the same amount of time to be handling them as if it was just a small amount of bids. So obviously a problem rightfully pointed out. The administration, well, we requested that we have more time, straightforward, when it came to those things. Administration actually had a better offer. They said, why don't we give you more time on everything, regardless of if it's one meeting a month or not. And I believe that is this section here. Where is it? Yeah, for consideration as part of the consent calendar, any items submitted to the clerk shall also be sent on the same day to the members of the council solicitor, and the council liaison. That change is inserted into Rule 13 as subpart E. So basically, the earliest we could possibly get information, we'll now get it when regards to the consent calendar. So that would be the abatements and the bid package.
Mr. President, so the intent behind this clarification is to request that when purchasing delivers the information, that information be concurrently communicated through to the member, so that this is the earliest possible of a final-ish document that comes before us. Obviously, they're all subject to change, but it's to ensure that the administration submits this to us as promptly as possible.
And it's not, and in all fairness, it's not necessarily a silver bullet. This isn't by no means necessarily going to perfectly resolve it, but at least we'll abate it. And not only will abate the main issue we went for, but it should actually help in for all meetings, frankly. So it's a nice win, and kudos to administration for not only willing to work with us on it, but suggest even more than what we asked for, and kudos to Councilman Lattiser for being willing to help work with them on that as well. So, are there any questions on that proposed amendment?
I would just clarify my prior comment further that if consent calendar items are not limited just to the purchasing department, it could be the abatements coming to you. Well, it's any item that is provided for in the consent calendar that it be sent on the same day to.
And which line item are you in?
So the amendment that Councilman Sinapi has requested that's been moved and seconded is to add subsection E to Rule 13. For brevity's sake, the document that's before you only presents rules that are being changed, so that we didn't have everyone with dozens of pages of paper that aren't having any changes.
Right.
The amendment is to make a change to Rule 13 to add a subsection E with the language that says, for consideration as part of the consent calendar, any items submitted to the clerk shall also be sent on the same day to the members of the council solicitor, and the council liaison. So that is the amendment. The other changes we can get to after
okay.
this.
Yep. All right. So any further questions on the proposed amendment? Any questions to public? All right, camera. Any questions, member of the public, as far as this proposed amendment? All right. So, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll on the proposed amendment.
Snappy.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Foley.
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt.
Yes.
Mr. Kirby.
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser.
Yes.
Mr. Muto.
Yes.
Mr. Napa.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
All right. So now,
So the sub A is we've amended the item to include the changes to Rule 13. As you read through the other proposed changes to the rules, these impact Rule 30, specifically to address issues that have been presented by different council members over the last time. So, for example, we are now putting in force language in subsection L that was previously reserved. This is regarding ensuring that additional notice is provided to everyone regarding proposals to do tax stabilization agreements. So this was Councilman Ricks's idea, I believe, that was in response to a recent proposal that the council had to consider. So this ensures greater notice there. Similarly, in Rule M, we're putting in place some guidelines about how this body dockets and considers matters that are being referred to other bodies, specifically the state and federal governments, that a higher threshold than a single docket person is being requested. So that the rule specifically is trying to ask that for items that are going to be a resolution to the General Assembly or the federal government, unless it's docketed by the council president on behalf of the mayor. The sub A language that we would need to make was to remove the word or in the original proposal as well. But so that this is, if the council president dockets something on behalf of the mayor, it can proceed to the docket. If it's another type of request to go to the assembly, to a federal government body, it would require at least four of you to consider the matter. So it's still a threshold that's less than majority of the body, but it's ensuring a higher threshold to bring different matters before you. And then the last change is in Rule 42 regarding financial or actuarial presentations. We're changing it to a more broader category of financial presentations, and that this would also request a annual presentation by the city auditor relative to the results of the most recent fiscal year audit.
Yeah, and it's worth mentioning that, as you all may recall, when the auditor came before, that was supposed to be like kind of like a almost like a trial run of how it would work. And it was actually really neat because she said, look, if you guys want other stuff in it, let me know. So obviously, prior to this, we can come up with, hey, we want more stuff. Could you please do X, Y, Z? All right. So cascade of light. So Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you. So I'll start with the last one. Rule 42, I would like to add the language where on line 37 to the results of the most recent fiscal year audit to also include a five-year forecast.
And you want that from, just so I'm clear, from the auditor, not from the city?
From the auditor, yes.
Bill Facente, I don't believe the auditor does a five-year forecast. That's a city department function. The auditor is contracted to audit the prior fiscal year. They don't project forecast forward.
Okay.
So the auditor would not be able to do a five-year forecast.
Okay.
That's an administration function.
Yeah, fair enough. I won't argue with you on that. Then perhaps we can put that language in elsewhere, that the city will provide us with an updated five-year forecast.
So... I made it clear. I have no problem continually amending these as much as we want. Would you be amenable to whatever we pass tonight? We pass, and then we'll docket it right away. Like, hey, we want more changes, and that could be one of the one. I say one of, because there might be more to one of the ones we discuss as part of it to figure out. All right, can we do this? How can we do it, et cetera, rather than trying to shoehorn it in tonight. Because we got time. Granted, we don't have a lot of time, but we got time as far as before this would be.
So I'm clear with what your intent is. So let's just, for the sake of conversation, I have, let's say, three amendments that I'd like to make to the rules. You would prefer to make those three on a separate meeting or make those now?
on a separate meeting, separate item for the sake of, one, these have been lingering for a while, so I want to get at least these done.
Right.
And two, I have no problem with continually updating it and making it better anyway. So doing it a separate, it doesn't bother me, frankly. I assume it doesn't bother you. And it'll give us time because we don't want to just rush it tonight one way or another when we could do,
okay.
We can make sure we do it in a way that works.
Yeah, mine
all right.
can wait.
All right, so we want to make sure we get the docket. I wanted the docket rules thing anyway, so this is perfect. Is there anything else though you wanted to bring up?
Not for me. Oh wait a minute, hold on. No, that's all right. I'll wait till we circle back on additional amendments at another time.
Okay. Council Muto.
Thank you, Mr. President. Considering the events of the evening, I would make an amendment to drop the language in item M. The four members of the council creates too much of a temptation or errors to go in violation of OMA. I also don't believe that as council people individually, we should give up our rights, because that's exactly what we're doing here, is giving up a right that we currently have. So I didn't see any like really burning issue to, you know, go and storm the state capitol and the federal capitol. So I just think this could potentially create more issues than what you're trying to solve. So my recommendation is to strike M.
Right. So just as a reminder, that came up as a result of somewhat the fallout when we had legislation that was seeking to make our recommendations known to the state on certain very divisive-ish topics. And so this was seen as a potential way to address that. I'm not talking about the OMA part yet. So this is as far as why we got it. And granted, it's been lingering for a while, so it's not fresh on anybody's recollection for good reason. If there's a better way to address that, I'm happy to do it. We're happy to consider it, happy to talk about it. This is just the one we ended up on. There has been a few different attempts, if you may recall, where we put it in one way, and then I'm like, no, we didn't like that. We tried another way. And as far as the OMA thing, I'm going to kick it to the solicitor because he was the one who came up with it the way he did.
My concern is I want to put something out there that everyone needs to own a golden retriever. And I talked to Foley, he says yes. I talked to Rix, he says yes. Nappy, yes. A week later, Foley says, I don't like golden retrievers, I like cats. All of a sudden, I need a new fourth. So my concern, all of a sudden, my golden retriever dies because Foley likes cats instead of golden retrievers. And I know you like cats better.